Father God, I thank you for this time and this place. I thank you for these people. I thank you for your church and your body. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come now, work mightily in the lives of your people. Help us not get in the way of your work, God, and help us humbly submit to your will. Amen. All right, I'm Skylar Lipson, the oldest of the three Lipson boys. And I'm going to just share a little bit of where the Lord's brought me over the last 6 months to a year. Really a year, I guess, in the process of coming back home in many regards, coming back to Timber Lakes, coming back to the ministry that is Timber Lakes, and a little bit of what that journey is. And so when we go to the scripture today, it's really going to be kind of that faith journey that kind of brought us back to Timber Lakes, and kind of what the message was that brought us back to Timber Lakes. Like I said, my wife Ashley been married 5 years, and when we were very first married, we were living in Iowa, Oskaloosa, and then moved from there to go to Georgia, and back home for Ashley, and she was accepted into the University of Georgia to finish her biology degree. And so spent 4 years, three and some change, down in the South. And so, I think that the point I really realized what it was to be in the South, I had a job with UPS, had transferred with UPS down there, and had gone to driver school to be a UPS driver. That was the path I was on, as I was going to be a UPS man wearing the Browns, running your boxes around. And so I go to driver school, and they're doing this big kind of little boot camp type thing for a week, and they, get you in the truck and line you up and see if your suits are pleated and pressed and all this stuff. And I met a gentleman there whose name was Paul Ponder. And Paul, good old Paul, we just kind of struck up a relationship. We were at the same hotel staying together, and this guy must have been, I would say, 55, and just now going to driver school with UPS. And so, I made the mistake, I guess, apparently asked, where are you from, Skylar? And I said, from Kansas and Iowa, really, my Midwest, that's where my roots are. And he's like, big country up there. I said, yeah, you're right, Paul, it is big country. Ooh, big sky country, isn't it? I said, yeah, Paul, it is big sky country up there. He said, that's right, big country. And the rest of the week, I was big country to Paul. It was, hey, big country. Hey, Paul, what are you doing? And, I think that this is really, you don't want to stereotype the South, but this guy is the born in the blood Southerner. I'll tell you two quick stories and we'll get right into it. But, we're out to eat, and I was like, where do you want to eat, Paul? I don't know, country. We ain't got none of them vittles like they got up here, And I was like, well, what do you like? I just like good old country food myself. Okay, Paul. Well, how about we go over here to this, it's like a Chipotle, one of those places you get those big burritos or whatever. Ooh, I ain't had too much of that foreign food. Okay, well, it's good. I think you'll like it. All right, I trust you, country. And we go in there, and he's like, ooh, country, these vittles, I tell you. We ain't got nothing like fancy like this down Tifton way. I tell y'all, I declare, this is some fancy food y'all got up here. And, so country, I tell you, this is good eating. It don't get much better than this. I don't, and I'll tell you, country, I don't normally take to foreign food, but I'll tell you, this is some good vittles right here. And, and I'm just like, yeah, Paul, So he was my buddy, and, it was one of the last days in school, day before the last day, and this was kind of the point in the class where it was the make or break point, and you have to get up and recite all this stuff or whatever, and everybody's just stressed out to the max, and I walked down, headed out the door early to go over to where we're meeting, and on my way out the door, I'm just trekking out, and I look over, and I see this, and I just catch out of the corner of my eye, this guy, and he's probably got five or six guys around him, and feet up on the table, propped back in his stocking feet and long johns, and like t-shirt, And I look over, and it's good old Paul Ponder. And he's sitting over there drinking his coffee, and every employee in that hotel is over there hanging out with Paul Ponder. And oh, they are just yucking it up. You know, like everybody's having the most stressful time in their life except for good old Paul Ponder. And he's over there, and he's just like, yeah, country, I tell you, these are some good people you got up this way. I didn't take much to the, you know, new people. I ain't been much out of Tifton my whole life, you know. But there's some good people up this way, you know. And so it was great. So the experience of the South and learning to say y'all and, you know, having to, the first few months was, you know, okay, slow down and say that one more time a little slower. I'm just a dumb northerner. I can't pick up on all your fast southern talk, you know. And so anyway, it was a great experience. And, you know, through the course of being down there, learned a lot from being able to be a part of UPS and do that thing. But needless to say, the Lord really changed my heart towards Timber Lakes and brought me back to Timber Lakes. And I'll tell you, this is a little bit of borrowed collateral. Sometimes the best messages are regurgitated messages. And so I would say probably 10 years, 11 years ago, I heard a sermon that was basically this same sermon, and it's walked with me for about 10 years. And so I'm going to share it. This is what was, you know, walking in my heart and heavy on my heart and my mind when we me and Ashley decided to move back towards Timber Lakes. And it was actually a Patrick Kuchera, one of our missionary church pastors, who had shared this message. So the real question is, who or what is really in the throne room of your heart? And that's going to be the focus of what I want to share with you today, because that's really what changed, you know, where I was and what I was doing. I realized, hey, my heart is not here. This is not what God needs me to be doing for Him. And so it was interesting. You do a real quick, you know, praise the Lord for Bible Gateway word search, and you find out that the word heart's been translated from the original text 802 times in the NASB, which, you know, that's not, you know, I'm sure there's other words that are like I that's in there more or something, but I mean, that's pretty significant, you know. And what I find interesting, we had in one of my college classes, it was a metaphysics class, and we breached the topic of what does it mean to be human and all this stuff. And it was real interesting. So I started talking about the heart and how there was major opposition to the first heart transplant in many Christian, you know, organizations, because they believed that's where the soul, the real human, lived, right here in your heart. And so it was like, you know, a lot of times throughout Scripture, you know, when we read the word heart, we tend to think of it in, you know, maybe words like commitment or invested in certain things. But, you know, it really kind of shed light on this concept that when they're talking about where is your heart, the heart of a man, you know, the heart of, you know, heart after God, we really kind of see that that's impactful when you consider that in many people's mind, that was what made you human. That was where your soul resided, was in this heart thing. And so I'll share a little quick scripture here. It's Acts 13, 22 through 23, and I'm reading from the NASB, starting in verse 22. After he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. From the descendants of this man, according to promise, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, one of the, you know, the cool thing is Paul's talking about, you know, David, who receives one of the greatest compliments in Scripture, to be a man after God's own heart. And what does that really look like to us? And what does that really mean to us? And that really is talking about an imprinting of who you are, your identity, and what you are, to be identified with a Christ-like model. And that's, you know, that's huge. So I'm going to share with you, you know, let's take it right down to ground level. I had a manager all the time in UPS, and he would come out, and he would, you know, prop his foot up on the belt line and come up next to me, Skyler, yeah, what's up, Ron? I noticed your number slipped a little bit last week. Okay? You're down 0.01% in productivity. Okay. So what's the problem here, Skylar? What are you doing wrong here? We're just doing our best, you know, whatever. Well, let me ask you a question, Skylar. Yeah? Yeah, Ron? Do you have a toolbox? Okay, yeah, I've got my toolbox. Figured it out. You don't have any tools in your toolbox, do you? You don't know what to do. No, I got tools in my toolbox. It's locked. Your toolbox is locked. You're not using the tools. Because, you know, you'd be doing better. No, I got my toolbox unlocked. So you're telling me your toolbox is unlocked. You got all the tools you need to do the job, but you're just not getting the job done. Well, I guess you're right, you know? And so, you know, although it was a little bit harsh, you know, it did bring to light a point. And that is, you know, what I would like to do with this is kind of give you some real life ways, some tools to maybe put in your tool chest over this message that I've walked with that you can really utilize to find out where your heart's at and where you're going with that direction that's taking you. So there's a quick little litmus test that kind of lets you know where your heart is. And that is, you know, basically every individual has about 5 resources at their disposal. And you're using them all the time. It's your time, your thought, your talk, your talent, and your treasure. Those are 5 resources that every human has. We're born with those things, whether we realize it or not. We're using them all day, every day. Your time, your thought, your talk, your talent, your treasure. And if you find out where those things are being invested, you're going to find out real quick, where is your heart? What are you all about? So to start with the first one, we can talk about time. And the scripture that I'd like to share is taken from 2 Timothy 2, 4 through 6. And it says, "No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of crops." So when I think about time, I think about, you know, a lot of times the Olympics, you know, these guys, I mean, they don't get great by just waking up and being like, I was just born this way. You know, maybe they have a natural gifting to run, you know, at the speed of a cheetah or something, but like, generally speaking, this is a process. This is a daily investment in their time. And I kind of think back about, you know, how I've used time and maybe not the best uses of my time. I had a job when I was down interning in Arkansas at a church down there. And I got a management job at a movie theater, a Malco 12-plex or 20-plex. And man, this was like the best and worst job for a young guy to have. You know, like, you got free movie tickets. And, you know, so my day basically consisted of waking up at the crack of noon and going to work, you know. And, you'd work the evening deal, watch a few free movies. And then after work, we had the real tough task of deciding whose house we were going to go play Halo at, because Halo had just been released. And so we were going to have this computer game LAN party every night of the week, and it was a real spiritual time in my life. But, you know, you have these time investments, and I invested, you know, hours into, like, learning these joystick controls so I can barrel roll and shoot at somebody, you know? But let's think about context. You know, when you talk about time, there was, even though, you know, God's so good, even though you're investing your time into something as meaningless as a video game, there's relationships built there. You know, and those relationships, in a way, were a springboard for me to be able to share Jesus. So I'd challenge you, you know, when you think about time and you think about being purpose-driven, you think about, you know, you have all these catchphrases out there, you know, and we think about a soldier in active duty, you know, there is a sense that when we're engaged, our time, we start utilizing it in a way to glorify God, you know. And it's what you are investing your time in. Maybe you're into car mechanics, making model airplanes. I mean, I don't know. But what you do with your time, hobby or work, find a way to make Jesus be a part of that, you know. It's not as, you know, it's not like you're going to sit around for hours, you know, having this mental image of, you know, some little 9-pound, 8-ounce little baby Jesus in a manger. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about taking Christ into your everyday life. You know, I joke with my dad a lot of times. He's got this little catchphrase, and I'll go ahead and share it because he's here, and it's not gossip if he's here. So I love it. You know, we're working together on a tractor or something, and he gets the tire inflated, and amen. You know, it's, you know, my brother just nails it. We're packing our Penske truck, and I'm in there packing the truck, you know, working, and he's, hey, Skylar. Yeah, Spence? Hey, you know, that's my little brother. Hey, Skylar. Yeah, what's up? Skylar. Yeah, what's up? Skylar, look at this. You seen this? Look at this. Look at this. Check this out. It's pretty cool. And he's, you know, imitating my dad, you know, and he's like, have you seen this? You can take these extension cords, Skylar. Yeah, what? Yeah, you can take them and you can link these extension cords together and it makes this little daisy chain. Have you seen this? Check this out, man. It's pretty cool. And then you just go like this and it comes right apart. Amen. And I was just like, oh man, I'm just like in tears, you know, it was, I love you, Dad. All right, so, you know, we talked about our time. Let, you know, real dollars and cents of time, it really boils down to, you know, plug Christ into your life. You know, live him. Live him in your time. You know, and like I said, whether that's doing your model airplanes, do your model airplanes and bring somebody alongside you to do them with. Show someone else how to, you know, imprint your passion, whether it's music, art, whatever it is, imprint your passion into somebody else and let that be a segue to bring Jesus into them. All right, thought. Go ahead and share a little scripture about thought. It's Colossians 3, 1 through 3. And if you all didn't catch, I'm sharing from the NASB, so I hope that's okay. Scott may be rebuking me later. We're only an NIV church, Skylar. Anyway, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So setting our mind on things above. All right, I got a little confession to make to you guys. I like guns. I really like guns a lot. You know, I mean, they invoke everything about, you know, everything about them. I love the fact that they're loud, they're dangerous. There's an aspect of I'm a little bit on the edge when I've got one, you know, type of deal. And so, you know, a few of the guys at my work were like, hey, I'm trying to sell a gun. Maybe you should look into getting it from me, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, okay, what is it? And he's like, oh, you're really going to like this one. I'm like, okay. He's like, it's called a Seca shotgun, created by the same guy who invented the AK-47, and it's a 12-gauge shotgun that holds a banana clip of about 35 rounds, 40 rounds, you know. And I'm just like, oh, this is everything that I love, you know. And so, like, this is just, like, consuming my mind. That's all I'm thinking about. I'm like, oh, I could mod the barrel on this thing. I could get a new rail system. Like, oh, this is going to be such a cool gun, you know. I'm like, there's, like, this moment of, like, genuine repentance that almost has to happen because I'm just, like, I'm, like, Googling, like, you know, internal workings and stuff, you know, like, I'm just a man obsessed. I liked it. But, so, you know, when we think about our thought life, you know, the scripture just talks about set your mind on things above. And again, I think I mentioned it already. This isn't just like getting some Max Lucado picture printed and like just having that constantly, like, you know, tattooed on your eyelids. That's not what it's all about. It's about saying, hey, in your thought life, where you are investing your thought life, is there kingdomness in there? Is there a kingdom-mindedness? Is there, you know, is there a way that you're involving Christ in your thought life? And we can talk all day long about how we mess that up. I mean, we can talk all day long about how we do it wrong and how we miss the mark. And there's more examples than there are people in the world of how we've messed our thought life up. But I would challenge you, you know, to give you a real life tool. Take that time, that thought life, you know. Some of us may work jobs in plants where we have time, do you think, you know, riding on your tractor, riding down the road. Take opportunities to think on heavenly things. You know, and like I said, real dollars and cents of that boils down to, what can I do think through my gift, you know, in my thought life to impact the kingdom, you know? And so, anyway, take that for what it's worth. All right, talk. So we've talked about time, thought, talk. And the scripture I have for you is Colossians 4, 3 through 6. And it's a little bit of a long one, but it's a good one, so we're going to share it. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. You know, I worked with a guy who was real harsh. I mean, his mouth was just like, he had a double-edged sword, and he took it out and would cut you to pieces at every moment he had. He was caustic to be around. I mean, caustic. And I'll just, you know, I'll throw out the warning first before I give you the tool. Man, demilitarize your mouth. If all you are doing is walking around looking for ways to cut people up, reevaluate where you're at. I'm just, you know, I'm sharing from my heart. I mean, the scripture plainly says, you know, to let your speech always be with grace. And that's a tough truth. I mean, it's easy to, you know, I'm a guy with a big mouth sometimes, and it's easy to just throw it out there. You know, we do it in our homes. We, you know, the easiest one sometimes to hurt is our family and those we love most. So that's the challenge side of it, but I'll share a little testimony about talk that I had recently after we had moved down here. I had one of my friends was having his wisdom teeth cut out, and so he was like, you know, we were up visiting for his birthday, and he's like, hey, come on with me, you know. And I was like, okay, you know, he's like, you know, had to razz him a little bit about being a chicken to go to the dentist's office or whatever. So, but we went to the dentist's office with him, and this guy, you gotta understand, this guy is like 99.99% of him is like evangelist. I mean, this guy is like, you know, if there's a homeless man in a 50-mile radius, he's going to find him and talk to him about Jesus. I mean, like, this is just, that's what he lives, eats, and breathes. You cut him, he breeds, you know, that's all he talks about. He wants to talk to you about Jesus, and that's it, all day long, every day. And it's awesome. I love that about him. My giftings are not really there, and it makes me awkward. I don't know what to say most of the time when I have to share Jesus, and I'm just like, you know, I'm all about, like, man, you need your roof fixed. Like, let me come over, I'll roof your roof with you, and we may end up talking Jesus while we're doing it, but that's how I'm sharing Jesus with you, you know? And, like, that's just how I work, different personalities, but I'm setting that up to say I'm here with him, and he goes in back to get his x-rays done and all this stuff, and while he's back there, I'm sitting there, you know, whatever, just doing my own thing, and I see this older couple come in with a younger boy, and his mouth is just full of blood coming out of his mouth, and I'm just like, what's going on, you know, like, this is just kind of blowing my mind, and I can tell there is something wrong going on here. And so they take the boy in back, and the nurse actually comes back out, just tears, saying, I need one of you to come in here. I can't, it's just too sad. Apparently what had happened is he was, you know, some bullies had cornered him and just beat his teeth out of his face, all of his teeth and his braces, and just tore his mouth up, you know. And, you know, I'm telling you guys, this is like, only happened once in the 27 years that I've been alive. May never happen again. But it was one of those moments where it was as if, quite literally, it was one of those almost Pentecostal day moments where Christ came into my heart and said, Skyler, you need to be used by me here and now. And I'll tell you, this was like, I didn't even have a chance to say no. And it was like, next thing I know, I'm sitting next to this lady and I'm just sharing, you know, scripture. And, you know, we're hugging, praying, you know, that, you know, she was a, you know, the Catholic Church had stamped her birth certificate type Christian, you know. And it was just like, you know, I don't know. But what I would say to you is in your talk, be open and sensitive. Let Christ dictate your talk. because there will be opportunities, there will be times in your life, in your work, and in your everyday life, where Christ can use you as his mouthpiece. And so I would highly challenge you guys, be sensitive. You know, there will be opportunities where someone just needs you to come alongside them and say, hey, I love you, I care about you, I hear you're struggling. And that's huge. You have no idea how big that is to another person. All right, we'll step right to the next one, talent. Colossians 3, 15 through 17, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts. Whatever you do in word or deed, all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. All right. Johnny Cash was quoted as one time as saying, I'm just a monster. I'm like Frankenstein. I'm a guy with a bunch of broken, crummy, used up parts, and I just got put together, and I'm kind of like Frankenstein. But I've got a good heart. You know? And so, when I think about talent, it's easy to look at people that have just this unnatural gifting, Scott, with music, Scott, and just being like, man, if I could only play the guitar like Scott, I would be there. Like, I would really be able to do something good for God, but, you know, like, I just can't. So I guess that solves that, you know? All the jobs I had a lot of times after I moved out were, you know, a lot of them were construction jobs. And, you know, the one thing I had to hang my hat on is I would show up on the construction site and the foreman would say, what can you do? And I'd be like, not much, but I know how to work hard. I've got a strong back, you know. And I feel like on some level, that's all Christ is asking of you. You know, when he said, hey, we've got these opportunities to work at the church, and which, by the way, is gorgeous, phenomenal what God's done here. God just needs people. He doesn't need perfect people. He doesn't need people that have supernatural gifting people. He just needs people. You know, he needs people with that willingness and that attitude of, hey, if I need to shuck lumber, I'll shuck lumber. Whatever that is, I'm willing to do it. We'll jump real quick to the last thing, treasure. This seems like the one that everybody just wants to talk about, treasure. We'll go ahead and share a little scripture. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 11. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accomplished by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. For we have food and covering. With these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. I'm going to share this with you guys. We were talking about treasure, you know, and storing up for yourselves and all this stuff. We were moving, and little did I know, somehow, I have no idea. This is like some escape artist type move. A squirrel had been getting in and out of our attic. And like, it baffles my mind how he was able to do it in the first place. I still have no idea. And so, but what tipped us, what let us knew it was happening is we're pulling boxes out of our attic. And we're like, you know, something's rattling in here. What in the world? You know, open up the boxes. I kid you not, we must have found probably close to 2 pounds of acorns. This little squirrel, like I said, had somehow, you know, used his, you know, transporter beam or whatever to hide up there. And he didn't chew the box. He had taken and gone to boxes that had, like, you know, air holes from, like, old, like, food boxes and, like, stuffed them carefully in through there. And, like, I'm just thinking of this little, if anybody's seen that movie, Ice Age, I'm thinking about that little squirrel that's just like, you know, like running after these acorns, you know, and I'm just getting a kick out of this. You know, I'm my wife, I sometimes tickle myself more with my jokes than I do at my wife, but I'm just getting a kick out of this. Like, can you imagine what the squirrel's saying? Like, all of his friends are scampering around trying to bury their acorns somewhere. He's like, you guys have no idea. Like, I've got like 2 pounds. I'm good. You guys, you know, little does he know, like, I've been up there and they're all gone. Like, I'm almost feeling guilty. Like, I need to put them back up there for him. Like, all that effort and energy that he's invested in that. And, you know, that's really, when it comes to treasure, that's really where, what to me, kind of the rubber meets the road. And I'm laughing about this squirrel situation, but it kind of hit home. A little piece of my heart got hit with this and said, man, am I doing that? Like, really? Is that where I'm at? Am I just getting stuff? Am I getting comfortable? Am I, you know, stuff's great. Stuff's good. There's no problem with stuff. Don't get me wrong, guys, but, you know, it can be an all-consuming situation. You know, you get stuff and then you need more stuff to be happy with that stuff. And like, computers and technology for me are all that, all the way. Like, I need this, you know, computer, and then I need a new router. You know, it's just like a never-ending daisy chain. So I would challenge you when it comes to treasure, wherever you're putting your treasure, your heart's going to be there too, you know. And so I would challenge you, look at where you're putting your treasure, have a kingdom-mindedness. You know, really, it's about the throne room of your heart. Who is on the throne room of your heart? Amen. And so when you take a look at your life and you say, where am I putting my time, my thought, my talk, my talent, my treasure? I would challenge you. If when you look at that picture, if it's not Jesus on your life, on the throne room of your heart, fix that. Fix that. It's one small step to a life-changing conclusion. Like I said, that was where I came from. You know, that's what brought me to Timber Lakes, is this message right here. As I'm sitting back, I'm going, man, like, life is good. Money is good. Security is good. And the business isn't going anywhere. I'm, you know, moving up. I'm young. I'm, you know, whatever. And I sat back and I said, that's great. And if that's where you're at, awesome. Like, that is a great company. But there was something in my heart that said, Skylar, that is not me on the throne room of your life, doing the UPS thing the rest of your life. And that was a heavy word, you know. So us coming to Timber Lakes, a lot of times, you know, and I'm sure it appeared, you know, it looks like I'm coming home to be with mom and dad. And there's a part of that that's got to be true. But the reality of it is that when I observed the throne room of my heart, I said, I need to be involved in this ministry. That is what puts Christ on the throne room of my heart. However that looks for you, honestly, real life situation, how that looks for you today, and the truth of it is being involved here, you know? I mean, there's plenty of work that Scott loved for you to be involved. And you don't need to be talented. He just needs people. He doesn't need perfect people. He just needs people. Anybody can work for the kingdom. So that's my challenge to you guys, is look at the throne room of your heart. Look where you're investing your resources. Look at that picture, observe it, and take it and engage. Take those tools and engage, because he would always come down that belt line and say, Skylar, now that you got those tools, it would be 2 weeks after. He would remember this conversation. 2 weeks after, he'd say, Skylar, have you engaged? Have you used the tools? Are you using them? Do you not just say you have them? Do you not just have this buggy of tools? You may have a lot of real good tools in your reserve, and you may not be using them at all. And the whole point is engage. Engage, engage, engage. Engage here. All right. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I thank you for our time. I thank you for the people here. I just pray that you'd use this word to speak into people's hearts and minds and lives, and that you would help us learn how to truly go forth into your kingdom and impact that for you. In your name I pray. Amen.